I'm Eric.
And I'm Brittany.
And we are...
We're Colored Nerds.
The conversations that black people have.
When white people are not in the room.
But we record them.
And we put them on the internet.
How's it going?
You know what? It's going okay. This is kind of like a funny time. We never record at this time. First of all, we've never recorded at night. We're recording like on a Friday night.
Yeah. Like it is 6:16.
Yes.
Normally I am trying to get ready for bed.
Yes, that's true. Normally Eric has his sleep cap on.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, so, you know, other than that, I guess pretty good. Just, you know, just being me, working, that's about it. That's all I can actually really say that's going to be satisfying for anybody, so.
Yeah, same. Just working hard.
Well, you have a cool project, though, that's coming out really soon.
Yes, I actually have a project that is coming out this week.
Yeah.
This is dropping on Monday. So on Thursday, April 27th. You can check out my new, well, not my new show, but the show that I'm working on.
So good. It's going to be so good.
Mogul, The Life and Death of Chris Lighty.
Spotify only.
Yes. It's a new podcast. It's a partnership between Gimlet, Loudspeakers Network, and Spotify. So it's going to be 6 episodes. It kind of tells the story of hip hop and the story of, like, honestly, one of the biggest managers in hip hop, in the rap game, Chris Lighty, who tragically committed suicide in 2012. Mm-hmm. There are so many great stories in this show, and it's hosted by fucking Combat Jack.
Yes, Combat Jack.
Like, that alone should bring you to the show.
He's so great.
So awesome. Reggie is the man. So yeah, check it out. It's going to be on Spotify exclusively for the next 8 weeks, and then it will be available wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes. So, definitely check it out. I'm really excited because I've heard a little bit of it, mm-hmm. but I haven't heard all of it. So I'm like really excited to finally just like get it into my brain.
Yeah, some good stuff. And the trailer's out right now, so you can go check it out, get a taste of it.
Yes, get a little taste.
But we should talk about what we're doing today.
Yeah, so today we decided we get emails some of the time from you guys, and you guys have questions that like we usually can't answer, mm-hmm. like in email response, yeah. or like, you know, just like, you know, maybe we just want to speak to you directly. So we decided that we would take some of the questions that we have received already, and also we did a little call out asking just for a little quick round of questions, and we're gonna answer them. So this is basically like here for Colored Nerds, ask us anything.
I think we should get to it. We got some good questions.
We got some awesome questions. I will say I appreciate every single question that we got. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, we couldn't answer all of them on the air. But I do wish we had received more questions like, you know, I slept with my boyfriend and his brother. What should I do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm pregnant. Who's the father?
Yeah.
In that instance, I would say just, you know, just dance with the girl who brung you. You know what I'm saying? If it's his brother, pass it off.
Yeah. I accidentally stabbed my cousin. How do I apologize?
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Usually people email in that.
Yeah.
In that instance. They don't need a quick response.
But yeah, so we're going to get into the questions that we do have, which again are great questions.
Yes.
To start, we have a question from Kim F. in Louisville, Kentucky.
It's where I was born.
Yeah.
Shout out Louisville.
So her question is, I wonder, how often do you get accused of hating white people? Great intro. I feel like I've heard other podcasters who have strong opinions about race called anti-white, or are often thought to be anti-white. It seems that people have a very simplistic view on the complexity of folks. In contrast, I find that because I'm married to a white man, whenever I speak on racism and oppression, I feel like folks give me the, I thought you liked white people vibe. I welcome your thoughts. Great question, Kim.
Great question, Kim.
should I go first? You want to go first?
You read the question. Go for it.
I actually don't get accused of hating white people that often.
Uh-huh.
I have been accused of hating white people before,
uh-huh.
not in like a public forum, but just like in like a conversation with somebody who I didn't know and didn't care about.
Uh-huh.
But for the most part, like, I think people get it. I think the people who I have been lucky enough to interact with, mm-hmm. And that's, you know, excluding like Egg AV Twitter. Well, it's not Egg AV anymore. It's like something else.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
But like the new, you know, the new Twitter
faceless
trolls.
Yeah.
But like excluding those people, which again, actually are pretty rarely in my mentions, people have mostly understood that like I am critiquing, you know, whiteness in aggregate. I am not like, I am not coming for you personally. And in general, I'm critiquing the way that I'm treated and people who look like me are treated and the societal structure that we live within. People surprisingly have understood that.
Yeah. That surprises me as well.
Would you say you've had the same response?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the only people who have ever accused me of hating white people are like trolls, like internet trolls. And I've been fortunate where I've only had a couple. But like, yeah, it's mostly just people who like probably haven't really listened to the show or maybe already hate black people to begin with.
Yeah.
But I also think that that could be a function of where we live.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I haven't been to Louisville in, like, 15 years, but I lived there for the first few years of my life, and I went back to visit a lot when I was a kid, when I was growing up. And I could see how Louisville could be a place where if you're going to express your thoughts about white people, people are, like, white people are going to look at you like, what?
Yeah.
Huh? Who? You, what? But you were married to this white man. Like, what?
Yeah. I thought you were down.
Exactly. I thought you were down. Exactly. So, no, I mean, to answer your question, I don't get accused of hating white people very often, but also like I live and work in a very specific place that's like not what most people's experience in the country is.
So she has a couple more questions.
Okay, go for it. Go for it.
So this question is to you, Brittany.
Okay.
What is your favorite Nora Ephron book or movie? I feel like I've heard you say you were into her.
So interestingly enough, I am kind of into Nora Ephron, but that was actually Jasmine Hughes. She was a guest on the show almost 2 years ago. Kim, shout out for like listening to us for so long. So my favorite white woman is Nancy Myers. And Nancy Myers and Nora Ephron have a lot of overlaps. And I want to say that Nora Ephron like directly influenced Nancy Meyer, and that they were kind of like contemporaries in the rom-com game, especially in the 90s. So I have much respect for Nora Ephron. So shout out. You know what I'm saying? Shout out some of my favorite old white ladies. Keep holding it down. Keep doing you. I will say my favorite Nancy Myers movie, not that you asked, is Something's Gotta Give. Something's Gotta Give is one of the best movies ever made. If you haven't seen it, it came out, I think, in 2005 or 2004. And it is Diane Keaton and Jack Nicholson. And it's just delicious. I don't even like, all you have to do is just sit down and let it unfold. Like, if you have a spare, it's long.
It's a little long.
If you got a few hours.
But they're all kind of long.
They're all kind of long. But you know what, though? I mean, you know what I'm saying? To, you know, develop the interior of a woman's spirit, it takes time, Eric. So to kind of answer your question, but to not answer your question, I'm nothing to Nora Ephron, but I fucks with her. But my favorite Nancy Myers movie is Something's Gotta Give.
Gotcha. Well, I think that is a lovely answer to that question. And so next is a question for me. She says, Eric, I have a 2-year-old and he is bananas. Is your little girl a toddler yet? Also, how's that going? Also, we find that maintaining our coupledom and finding time for us has been the hardest thing. Have you had any success in that arena? Yes. Eve is now almost 2.
Yes.
And she is very much almost 2.
She's popping. Eve is the most lit person.
Man, she is just a little ball of energy. She loves to dance. She loves to run. She loves to challenge me. She loves to not listen to me. And it's all great. You know, honestly, I don't really have any complaints. She's like a very like reasonable kid. Like her like ridiculousness all falls in line with like the stuff that's pretty like normal for her age.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I mean, I kind of luckily had like, you know, you have like the friends or like your siblings who have kids and they'll talk to you. They'd be like, just wait till it comes to this age. I had like all those like kind of annoying like stories where they tell you like your life is gonna suck once these kids hit like a certain milestone. But I haven't really had that. Like I still pretty much enjoy all the like toddler madness. And you know, I'm gonna knock on wood because that might change in like a few months. As far as like maintaining our coupledom, it is really hard. Like in general, just like working in the city and like, you know, being in a relationship where like both myself and my partner like work a lot, like it's tough to do that, come back, make sure we're spending enough time with Peanut, and then have time for ourselves. We're working at it, though. And I think...
I feel like you guys hang out a lot. I feel like you guys also go on vacation. I'll put you like this. I am single and I have no children. I must be single, like, it's unmarried and I have no children. And I feel like y'all go on so many better and richer vacations. Like, y'all's vacations are just, like, deep and expansive and, like... like childless. So like when you're like, we try, I'm like, how? I feel like I spend less time with my partner than you do. And I ain't got no kids.
Well, I mean, thank you. Thank you for that. I think like we do, We do try. Like, and that's a part of the trying. Like, we might not, like, on a day-to-day basis, we're not spending, like, a ton of, like, as much quality time as we would like, mm-hmm. you know, that's removed from, like, oh, man, it's been a really long day. You know, let's just sit together and watch TV for, like, an hour.
Yeah.
But when we do spend time together, we try to go in. We make sure we have a babysitter for at least 5 hours. Mm-hmm. And, like, we go out and get real, real loose.
Yeah. I've seen that before.
Yeah.
It's real interesting.
Me and Carla at like 2 o'clock in the morning coming home is a fun sight. But in addition to that, we do like to vacation, as you were saying, Brittany. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we try to make sure like when we go away, more often than not, we have not brought Eve.
Yeah.
Just because one, it's tough to travel with a little kid.
Yeah.
But two, we want to make sure that we can like, if we're going out, we want to make sure we can like really have fun. And like just kind of like have like us time. So yeah, we'll take like, you know, our goal is to take at least one big trip, mm-hmm. Which we've been pretty good at lately. You know, we took like a cruise, we went to Dominican Republic, stuff like that. We got another trip coming up.
You went to South Africa.
We went to South Africa.
Right.
We went to Cape Town.
Yeah.
Going to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, we try to take a few like smaller trips, mm-hmm. you know, like I think the big thing is just making sure you plan. You have to say like, all right, you know, this week or two might be a wash, but like that day, nothing else is going to happen that day. This is the day we're going to like make sure we have some us time.
I think that's nice.
Thanks. So to move on to our next question.
Some advice.
Yes. This is from Jabril I. He says, I was wondering if either of you had advice on looking for a job in a different state. I'm getting married in a few months, and my future wife and I are planning on moving to Chicago. So I've been applying for jobs there with varied success. What I've consistently heard is that I should just pack up and move to the city where I want to live, even though I don't have a job lined up yet. While that makes sense, the idea is slightly terrifying because I like security. Plus, I'll soon have more than just myself to think about financially.
Jabril. I have a few questions. So, like, Eric and I, we've been wondering, what is your job?
Yeah.
Like, we don't know what your job is.
Industry is important.
Yes. Also, like, your future wife. Like, does she work? Is she in school? Are you guys planning to move to Chicago for any particular reason? Like, is that because that's where you wanted to raise a family? Is that where she's, you know, doing her doctoral work? Like, why Chicago? And also, like, how soon do you have to move?
Yeah.
Like, you're getting married in a few months. Like, do you have to move before you get married or after you get married? Are you getting married in Chicago?
Yeah. How much do you spend on your wedding?
Right. How much you spend on your wedding? You get married at court and, you know what I'm saying? Are you getting married at court and going to the drive-thru? Or are you doing some, like, a destination wedding with, like, 6 or 7 different events? We don't have the answers to any of these questions. So we can't tell you precisely what to do. However.
Yes. Some general tips.
Go ahead.
One, I would not recommend just packing up and moving to a new city.
That does not work over the age of 25.
Yes.
With less than probably $50,000 in the bank.
Correct. The way the job market works, it can take some time to find a gig. And like, you don't want to play fast and loose with your life like that.
No. Fast and loose with your life. Well, you make it sound like Russian roulette.
Well,
it kind of is.
It is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you never know what sequence of events will happen to you. You always want to be, you know, I always want to be planning for like a rainy day or something like that. Now, I'm not saying that like you can't pursue a life in Chicago. I just think, you know, as Brittany kind of alluded to, you might want to think about your timeline and maybe plan that out a little bit. In addition to that, while I wouldn't recommend just up and moving there to find a job, I would recommend going there for like, you know, at least a few weeks.
Yep.
And like maybe staying with a friend or mm-hmm. something like that and searching for a job that way. That can be very helpful.
Yeah.
Also, just like putting, if you have a friend who you can use their address and putting that on your resume.
Oh my gosh, it helps so much. I cannot describe to you, but like, okay, so speaking as somebody who did move to a city with no job, I've done that more than once, but which is why I'm telling you not to do it. It was something that did help me get like an internship, at least when I was moving to New York a few years ago, 5 years ago, I guess, was to use somebody else's address. I used my sister's address on my resume, and it was like overnight, I got so many more responses. Yeah. So yeah, using a friend's address, even if you can't go for a few weeks,
yeah.
I would say like take a couple of different weekends and like tell your job that you have a vacation to go on, mm-hmm. or taking a family trip or whatever, visiting your parents, who knows, and take a Thursday and a Friday and just like reach out to as many people as possible in Chicago in your industry. Ask them to lunch, coffee, if you could come by the office or whatever. Yeah. Line up some informational interviews so that maybe, you know, you go on one trip to Chicago. And maybe you have an interview in Chicago that you're traveling for, and then just like visit a whole bunch of other people at once. Like I'm not looking for a job now, but anytime I have like work travel to another city, I typically will try to see people who are colleagues, mm-hmm. just to like keep the relationship warm. Yeah. Who knows if eventually maybe they want to come work, you know, where I work, or I don't know, 10 years down the line, if I'm not working at Giblet anymore, then maybe we'll collaborate on something. But it's just good to get in the habit of doing that if you're like looking for a job or if you're just a person who wants to stay hot.
Yeah. Stay in the mix.
Stay in the mix, but don't pick up and move. I don't know. We don't have a whole bunch of background information on you. Do not pick up and move if you don't have no job.
In general, one of my like most consistent mottos is don't blow your life up.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems like something that feels like maybe in this particular case might be blowing your life up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the thing there. I mean, sometimes it does work out where you like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. It worked out for me when I moved here, but also like, I mean, I had like $800 in my pocket or something like that. But I also was 100% comfortable with, okay, it doesn't work out. I can move back home with my parents. That was like the safety net that I had. Sometimes for some people, a safety net is I've saved up X amount of dollars, or I can go like, you know, if all else fails, I know how to wait tables or I know how to fold clothes, or, you know, I only have to look out for just me, or I can live with my aunt and uncle who live in the, you know, the area. It sucks because having a safety net is kind of like a very privileged concept. But unless you have created some sort of cushion for yourself, whether that be in the form of money or crashing with a friend or relatives, yeah, then I wouldn't recommend it, especially not if you are in a position to be considering the finances of a partner.
Yeah.
Good luck, Jabril, man, and congratulations on your impending nuptials. I'm really excited for you guys. I hope you guys have a healthy, wonderful, beautiful marriage.
Yeah, and you'll get to Chicago one day.
You will get to Chicago one day. We believe in you. You go, Glen Coco. So let's do one more question before we throw to break.
Yes.
So our next question is from Raymond W. He says, "Hi, Brittany and Eric. Thank you both for the podcast and the opportunity to ask you all anything." His question is, what books do you recommend that your listeners read? It can be any genre or topic.
So I'm going to go a bit left with this one.
Okay.
And the books that I would recommend people read, I'm excited. Right now I'm reading a bunch of books that are really, really great. I'm excited about them. But I have been, there are a couple books that have been popping up in conversation with people, mm-hmm. that I'm now like really excited to go back and read because I read them in high school. And like, I love them in high school, but I'm curious as to how they hold up.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, you know, watching a movie you really loved as a kid and you go back and watch it, you're like,
All Dogs Go to Heaven?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What a fucked up movie.
Really depressing in hindsight.
I watched it like every day when I was a kid.
So I would recommend these books just because I'm curious as to what other people would think of them now. Mm-hmm. And I'm also curious as to whether we're all just proclaiming our love for these books in hindsight.
Okay.
So the first book that I would recommend is The Coldest Winter Ever by Sister
You took Sultra. One of mine.
Really? Are you serious?
I love that book.
It's so good. Well, I really enjoyed it when I was a kid. Like, I love that book. I think I read it in like 2 days, and it's not a short book.
No, it's not short. The book is thick.
It's real thick.
But it's like, oh, the way she writes it just goes by like,
it's gripping. It is about this
a young woman from New York named Winter Santiago, mm-hmm. and just she's the daughter of a hustler,
mm-hmm.
and she gets caught up in the life and, you know, trying to be, you know, a hot girl and trying to manage, you know, certain things in her family and her relationships as her family life is kind of falling apart. And it's just a really I always thought it was, okay, so Winter grew up differently than I grew up, but I felt like there were so many ways in which, like, Sister Soldier really got into the mind of a teenage girl, and I just thought it was so good when I was growing up.
I agree. But I'm curious to come back to it because, like, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I remember that is, like, somewhat laughable, like, not laughable in the sense, like, well, laughable. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, it's kind of, it's fairly ridiculous in plot. Like, it's in an
like
amazing
the sex
way.
Scene with the guy who is supposed to be the rapper.
Yeah. Like, there's so much. It's
I love
just
that.
Like,
I felt like I was always just like, I'm like, ugh, I'm just like a sliver away. I'm a sliver away from having sex with a rapper. Little did I know as a teenager, I was years away from having sex with anybody, let alone a rapper, which still hasn't happened.
But yeah, it's like really fun. So anyway, I'm curious to go back to it. You should read it. You know, if hopefully, well, not hopefully. This might be for the first time or it might be a second time. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what you think as well. So one more book along the same line. Mm-hmm. True to the Game by Terry Woods. This is also in your kind of urban literature category.
Okay.
And it's kind of along the same lines. It tells a bit of a like love drug story. And, you know, there's a lot of like action and crime. You have like gang violence. And there's a kind of a love story woven within it. Very similar plot. But True to the Game, I remember I actually got before mm-hmm. the coldest winter ever. And it was going around our like high school or whatever.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
were passing it around. And somebody gave it to me. And I was just like, damn, I really have never read anything like this before. I was reading like The Alchemist and like, you know, other shit like that.
You're so corny.
And like, but I was. And like, so like to get this and like Where the Red Fern Grows and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, wow. I've never even read that book. I haven't read either of those books.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Who would have thought I could have amounted to this much of a success without having read The Alchemist? Because Twitter would tell you otherwise.
It's very true. But yeah, so I read True to the Game and I was like, damn, I'm missing out. Like, there's a whole. There are a whole bunch of books out here that I just really need to have my head in. So, and it's actually it's like one of a trilogy. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what the other two books are. Oh, True to the Game 2 and okay. True to the Game 3.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's yeah. the titles.
But they're honestly, it's pretty great. Like it's, you know, it's an easy read. This was actually a lot shorter. You could probably consume it again, like in a day or two.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's just fun, man. It's just real fucking fun. And I want to go back and see if I like really like if I still really like it. It reminds me in hindsight of like it's like watching Power, you know.
Oh,
which
yeah,
who doesn't
yeah, yeah.
who doesn't love Power?
Who among us? Well, those of us without Showtime.
True. Oh, Stars. But
It's Stars,
yeah. Oh. But yeah, but like, you know, Power is great if the way your cable works,
yes.
you have that channel.
Yes.
It's a fun show to watch. And this is like reading that. So, yeah, those are
my
books.
That's a really good sell. That's a good sell.
Thanks.
One of the types of books I like to consume most in my spare time is actually cookbooks.
Mm.
So, I have a recommendation for two different cookbooks by Black women. One name you'll definitely recognize, one name you might. So, my first recommendation is for Khaleesi's cookbook, My Life on a Plate, Recipes from Around the World.
Wow.
It is so, so, so good. I made the arroz con gandules from that book, which is like rice and pigeon peas. It's like a Puerto Rican dish. Khaleesi is, her father's Black. Her mother is Puerto Rican Chinese. So like, I cannot tell you the level of flavor that is in these recipes.
Yeah, it sounds dope.
It's so good. And also too, like, there are a lot of really, like, really good, like, cook's notes and really good anecdotes in there that just explain why she likes to make certain foods. And it's just like, I mean, to me, one of the best ways to get to know another person or one of the best ways to introduce somebody else to your culture mm-hmm. is through food.
Yeah.
And I mean, introduce somebody else to your culture, should you want to, is through food. And so just like getting to know, like, I feel like I know so much more about her as a person and as a performer. And also just like as an American Black woman, because she's also like, I mean, being Black, Chinese and Puerto Rican, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that is, like, that's a truly American mix, and yeah. she's from Harlem. Like, just the things that, like, between her upbringing and also, like, all of her travels really informing her palate, like, the level of flavor in the book is just, like, off the chain. So definitely pick that up, Khaleesi, My Life on a Plate. And the other book, mm-hmm. I'm crazy about this woman, and we need to talk to her at some point because I'm obsessed with her. Her name is Nicole Taylor, and she wrote the Up South Cookbook.
Mm.
Chasing Dixie in a Brooklyn Kitchen. It is so good. This Black woman knows what the hell she is talking about. She just understands Black American cuisine on such a deep level. And she's such a talented recipe writer. She finds ways to to create really good recipes that stand up well, like that are classics, but also these beautiful interpretations of other dishes that can include Japanese like influences or Italian influences. And she also is somebody who's like, how I put it, like you have all these Southern chefs that are like, oh, this is how you make, you know, this is how you make this type of ingredient. This is how you make jambalaya, you know, and they just, you talk about all these ingredients, like you can just find them. Like you just live right on the fucking bayou and you can just walk out and just get some tasso ham and it's fine. Or you just get some boudin and that's your life. But she's writing from the perspective of somebody who's from the South, who finds themselves in the North having to figure out a way to like create the same recipes in her tiny ass Brooklyn kitchen with the same markets that I have access to. And it's just like, ugh, like you can just tell that like all of her work is just like a beautiful labor of love. She also is like easily found on the internet, Nicole A. Taylor, but also like she has a podcast called Hot Grease. I'm not sure if it's still
a
running.
Good name.
I know. Isn't it a good name?
Yeah.
For a black woman hosting a food podcast, Hot Grease. And she has an amazing Instagram. You can find her on Instagram and Twitter at Food Culturist. And I just like, I mean, maybe one day I'll meet her. One time, actually, this is so creepy. One time I was at this ice cream place that I love. And I like, you know, on like the thing is you get so used to seeing the same people on Instagram that you just assume you know them from somewhere, like, oh, okay, like I maybe she lives in my neighborhood or something like that. And so she like walked in, I didn't recognize her first. I was like, oh, this must be the woman that I see around the corner from me when I'm waiting for the bus. And I realized it was her. I was like eating ice cream. She's like with some people. They looked like they were really doing some deep shit. Like they looked like they were talking about maybe plotting a new cookbook. I don't know. But she seemed to be on a next level tip. So I wasn't going to go over there and be like, I'm obsessed with you. I've been stalking you for the past year and a half on the internet. And I just believe in everything that you have to say. But yes, Nicole Taylor, Up South Cookbook. She knows her shit. She knows what she's talking about. And she's just on the next level. She's taking us into the future. She's the new school Edna Lewis. Know about her. Check her out. Ask about her.
Well, now that you've received that information.
Yes.
Raymond. Raymond W.
Raymond W. Go forth and conquer.
Yes.
Get brave in the kitchen.
And while you do that, we're going to take a little break.
We're going to take a little break. So we'll see when we get back.
Yeah. And we're back.
We are back.
We are answering your questions.
Yes.
That you've sent in.
Yes.
So we're just going to jump right back into that.
Right back into it.
So our next question is from Susan L. And she has a question for Brittany.
Ooh.
She says, has Brittany gone to D.C. / Howard with her boyfriend yet?
So I'm glad that you asked that question. Okay, so I haven't. So I guess like some background on my boyfriend, not that I'm going to tell y'all his name or anything like that, but he is from Puerto Rico and he lived in Puerto Rico for like the first 29, 30 years of his life. And then he moved up here for graduate school. And, you know, sometime after he finished, he and I met and here we are. And so like when we went to Puerto Rico for the first time a year ago and we were there for like 7 or 8 days and it was great because I got to see this place where he grew up and he was like, oh, this is where I went to preschool. I was the valedictorian of my preschool class. And he was like, oh, this was my favorite place to drink when I was in college. This is where me and my friends used to go do hood rat stuff and get in trouble and stuff like that. And so it was cool because I felt like I got to like really see this place like that shaped him as a person. And so he's been back to Michigan with me and met my family and all this sort of stuff. But I feel like by not having been to D.C. yet, which he hasn't been to D.C. yet, but by like I feel like he will not know me in full as a person until I take him to Washington, D.C. So the last time I was actually in D.C., I got up at the crack of dawn and I got us tickets to the Black Smithsonian. So he and I are taking a trip this summer. This is so extra. This is basically like an anniversary trip to D.C. so that he can go to the Black Smithsonian and to walk the campus of Howard and to learn more about me as a person as I show him the streets of D.C. Yeah. I could show him the corner where I was walking down the street drinking out of a red Solo cup and got asked if I wanted to be Miss Hood Fab. For those of you who don't remember MTV Jams, you don't know shit about Hood Fab.
And the pack of socks.
And the pack of socks. So for those of you guys who don't know, Hood Fab was this little, like, I guess, like, commercial length, like, game show that they had on MTV Jams. And it had a little song. I want to say that was by David Banner.
Something like that.
It was like, got a question in the hood. Let me tell you who I'm asked. Let me question the hood who I'm asked. Hood Fab, H-O-O-D. F-A-B. So they play the song, and then basically, like, a camera crew would just descend upon people in the street.
It was very, like, pre-Billy on the Street.
Yes, it was like, pre-Billy on the Street.
Yeah.
I actually haven't seen Billy on the Street. I know who it is, though.
The gist is, like, it's, like, very much, like, this was the precursor.
Yes. So they would just, like, approach people on the street and ask them questions. Sometimes it'd be in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Sometimes, though, it would be kind of, like, around the club let-out time.
Mm-hmm.
And I got caught one day heading to the club, probably around let-out time, holding a red Solo cup, walking down U Street and 14th Street in D.C., and they, like, asked me. I was obviously drunk, and I was, like, maybe 21, 20. And they were like, hey, excuse me, miss. Mind you, okay, so I gotta give you some background. The only channel I ever watched was MTV Jams. That was the only channel I fucking watched the entire time I was in college. That was it. They played the best videos. It was the shit.
They really did play.
And so I'd seen every episode of Hood Fab, and I was like, oh, my God. I used to tell my sister, who I lived with at the time, I was like, oh, my God, I would just give anything to be featured on Hood Fab. And then one day I was walking down the street and they stopped me, probably because I looked like a drunk, young, stupid woman holding a red Solo cup. They're like, excuse me, miss, would you like to be featured on Hood Fab? And like, it was like time fucking stopped. It was like time was on pause. It was on pause where I was just like, this is like everything I've ever wanted at the edge of my fingertips. But if I say yes, it will live on forever, and I may not ever be able to get a job because I was a drunk woman on Hood Fab. So I said no.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, probably was a smart move.
Jesus took the wheel. So I said no, and I turned down my chance. But I mean, like, me and that corner are forever going to have a relationship because of that moment and many other moments that are probably pretty similar. But like, I just want to drive him around, you know, take him around DC and show him all that stuff. So I haven't been with him yet, but we are going soon, and we're really excited. And, you know, I'm hoping that when I take him to the Hood Fab corner, where I turned down an opportunity to become Miss Hood Fab, I'm hoping that he will feel the same deep understanding of me as a person that I feel.
You should buy him a pack of socks and give it to him.
Oh my God, that was always the prize on Hood Fab.
It was just like a pack of white crew length socks. It was
I think you got the socks whether or not you answered any of the questions correctly.
I feel like a box of socks just fell off the truck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, the other thing is, this is something you have to understand. I don't know why my father does this, but once a year, my father gives me actually a pack of socks. I don't wear white socks. I don't, my feet are not men's sized.
Yeah.
But my dad was just, and once a year gave me and my sister just a pack of like, just a 9-pack of men's socks.
Maybe he too was a fan of Hood Fab. You never know.
I mean, maybe he was like, maybe his third eye was open. He was ahead of the curve. I don't know. But yes, so to answer your question, Susan L., we are going. I'm looking forward to it. And I guess after we go, I'll let you guys know how it went.
Yeah, you got to report back.
I'll report back.
So Susan L.'s next question is, Eric does not...
I love this question.
Eric does not say much about his wife. I only remember hearing that she is maybe from the Caribbean and cooks something. I love that. my added emphasis. Really well. Anything else apart from being the mother of Peanut? So, great question.
Yes.
I'll start there. Must disagree. I feel like I talk about Carla very often.
You talk about, first of all, I refuse to really give too much information about my boyfriend. I have never used his name. People don't know where he lives or what he does. You have mentioned Carla's name. You talked about breastfeeding.
Yes. There's literal audio of me describing, like, you know, like early breastfeeding attempts.
Yes.
With Peanut in the episode, which obviously involves my wife.
Yes. Yes. You mentioned, when we had Britt Bennett on to talk about the mothers, you mentioned that we got your wife was the plug and helping us get Britt Bennett on the show because she works in book publicity. She's super dope.
Yeah.
We've talked about her writing before.
We talked about her writing. So just for the record, I'm not shading you.
Yes.
It's a fair question.
Yeah.
You know, no one expects you to listen to every episode.
No, no one in my family has listened to every episode, I don't think.
Yeah. But I have talked about her. But if you want to know some other stuff, one, my wife is popping.
Yeah.
She is the best. Mm-hmm. She personally is not from the Caribbean, but her family is Jamaican.
Mm-hmm. Jamaican and also Guyanese.
Yes, and also Guyanese. My bad. Gotta always rep. Mm. You saved me from some trouble.
I did.
Right,
I really did.
But, and she does cook really well. Like, a lot of it is just recipes that are passed down from like her mom, or just her family. But she makes some bomb jerk. She makes some bomb jerk chicken.
I've never had it. Carla, you ain't never given me no jerk chicken.
That's for me. That's
keep
only
talking
for me.
It's such a cool
dinner for a bae.
keep talking.
Yeah, and she's pretty great. I don't know. We hang out a lot. She's my best friend.
Mm-hmm. Some could say your only friend.
It's probably true. she allows me to be as weird as I am, yeah, and as corny, yeah, as I like to be. Yeah, and she generally tolerates me. She's an awesome writer. If you would like to check out her writing, yes, you can go to her website at carlawaslike.com. But yeah, that's pretty much it. This is a fairly, like, I've given you some information. I don't know, like, what you would like to know about her.
Mm-hmm. She's tall.
She is tall.
She's very pretty.
She has awesome locks. Mm-hmm. She loves the color purple.
I didn't know that.
That's her favorite color.
I had no clue.
Yeah. But yeah, those are some general facts. Yeah, that's it. She's great.
Yeah, she's
cool.
Shout
out to Carla.
And she's like active on the internet. You can find Carla. Yeah. Like, I would actually suggest following Carla on Twitter at Carla Was Like.
Yeah, she's got popping Twitter.
Her Twitter's much better than Eric's Twitter.
It's true. It is true. In general, her social presence is a lot more fire than mine is.
I have
pulled back a little bit where she's leaned in.
Yes.
But yeah, that's it. Good question, Susan L.
Okay, I want to read the next question. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next question is from A. And I'm not trying to put A's business out there because A wasn't trying to put their business out there. So I'm not going to use their name. I'm just going to use first initial A. So A sent us a very nice note, said that she loves everything about the podcast. She said she almost fell out of her office chair when she got the call from us to submit a question, and she figured that she needed to act fast. Mm-hmm. So she's like, excuse lack of eloquence, excuse my French. So let's get into it. So A said, I was raised to keep my dirty laundry in the room, so I will not bore you with all the details of my current life scenario. I am in a great and loving relationship that, as great as it is, faces a recurring challenge. I, of course, consult myself first and my loved ones, but I love hearing others' varying perspectives on relationships. Both of you seem very happy and settled in positive, healthy relationships, so congratulations. No sarcasm, and shout out, hashtag Black Love. Shout out, thank you. Thank you, I received that. I want to know what have been the most significant challenges you have faced in joining your life with another person and your committed relationships. Ooh, in parentheses, now or past. This is about to get deep. What have been the sticking points where you have had to dig in and put in some elbow grease into the relationship? And what has felt different about those moments in your current committed relationships as compared to past ones that you decided to let go? So basically being like, what were some tough points and why have we stuck around now? Mm-hmm. And what, like, why did we leave before?
Woo.
I know.
That's good. That's a good question.
Thank you, A.
You got to the heart of the matter.
She asked what she wanted to know.
Yeah. So who do you want to go first, or should I go
you
first?
You should go first.
Okay. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you have heard that I've been on a journey in my life.
Yes.
like a big one. Especially in regards to romantic relationships. I do think that I have probably come a long way.
Yeah, I would say that. I would agree with you.
Yeah, my
sure.
friends can definitely attest. I would say in general, I am not a person who is big on compromise.
No, you hate it.
I like things.
That's the true C word for you.
I like things to be a very specific way, and I am resistant to things not being that way.
Mm-hmm.
And in past relationships, that has meant like a lot of things have had to been on like my terms.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the time, I thought that was very reasonable. Very reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in hindsight, I realized it's maybe not so reasonable. There was a lot of tension and maybe arguments that was because I thought the relationship needed to revolve around me versus around like the partnership.
Mm.
And those relationships did not work out. Now, that said, I am with an awesome, awesome woman
mm-hmm.
who, like, from the get-go has been very vocal with me that, like, compromise is going to have to be a a pretty big necessity in the relationship. Specifically, and I, you know, if just put a little bit of the business out in the street, because of the way I would say that we both argue, I am someone who in general is not opposed to conflict. Mm-hmm. I have my position. I am willing to defend it to the death.
I know, I'm aware. You have left me exasperated, breathless, and upset many a time.
And, you know, that's something, guys working on all of us. That's something I'm working on constantly. I'm not there yet, but I'm still working on it. But my wife, Carla, is not big on conflict. You know, she's obviously willing to stand up for herself. But arguing until we're both tired leaves her more drained than it does me. And I had to realize, like, while I find it, you know, somewhat exciting.
Energizing.
And energizing to do that. That's not the healthy thing for my partner. And it ultimately is not going to result in, you know, something that gets me closer to what I actually want in that argument. Mm. So in those moments, you know, I often have to compromise. I might say, like, this is how I feel. This is what I'm looking for. And I kind of have to leave it at that a little bit to allow her to process what I'm saying to her, how she feels about it. And then, you know, we come back usually at a later point, which is great for the record, because it helps kind of remove a lot of the tension and escalation from the conversation. But she comes back to me. She's like, I heard what you said. You know, this is how I feel. This is maybe what I would, you know, how I would approach this. And usually by that point, I've calmed down a little bit and I have a tiny bit more clarity about, like, whether I actually wanted that thing. And, you know, what I'm willing to go through to get that you know, whether that's actually worth it. And that has been, honestly, that has been something that I know has probably been extremely helpful in making sure that my partner is still with me. So, yeah, that's a big, like, that for me, that is a big thing. Like, understanding, like, what compromise actually means. It doesn't just mean, like, we find the happy medium in every situation. Sometimes that means reevaluating how you have conversations and approach, like, conflict, to make sure that you're approaching conflict, which is going to happen regardless, in a way that's healthy for both people. That's all I got.
That's so helpful. You've actually given me a bit of that advice before. Yeah. A big thing for me is that I would say only a few times in my life have I actually dated, maybe only twice, have I actually dated someone who I actually got along with and had things in common with. Mm. Compatibility is not the most important thing, but actually, like, enjoying doing the same shit does actually account for a lot. And I would say that my boyfriend and I just both spend a spare Sunday afternoon the same way. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that allows us to have a lot more fun. It's way more fun, like, just speaking from experience. If you're dating somebody who likes to eat barbecue wings and watch New York Undercover, reruns of New York Undercover on a Sunday afternoon, and you don't like that, say, like, let's say maybe you want to go to the movies or to a museum or whatever, then, like, both of those things are valid, but if you are, then you need to prepare yourself to compromise. Both of you need to prepare yourselves to compromise. Now, if you're dating somebody who likes to do those things and also don't like to compromise, well, then you put yourself in kind of a pickle.
Yeah.
And I just, like, my boyfriend now is a pretty flexible person, and we both are open to doing things that the other person enjoys, but we also have a whole fuck ton of shit that we actually just like to do. And, like, most of a relationship, in my experience, is just passing the time together. So, like, if you don't want to pass the time together doing similar activities, then, like, you're just, and, you know, and you can be flexible, but, you know, some people are just, a lot of straight men are just not socialized to be flexible. What you just said kind of spoke to that.
Then
you're going to have kind of a tough time. So a big thing is, like, I just started, like, being honest with myself about what kind of person I actually was and, like, what I enjoyed doing and, like, what the things I like to talk about and the things that I found interesting. I used to not really broadcast that stuff because I felt like it would just be easier for me to, like, be a little bit more, I don't know, just, like, it'd be easier for me to just try to think about what other people might like and then kind of just, like, go along with that, because I'm down to try new stuff. So, like, if someone's like, oh, like, I had a boyfriend who was very into wrestling, pro wrestling, and so I was just like, okay, it's not really my thing, but, like, I got into it, I would watch it sometimes, I went to, like, a wrestling live show, because I was like, this is a person that I love, this person that I care about, if they like this, I'll give it a shot. So, you know, I mean, At the time that this person and I were in a relationship, he was not exactly reciprocal of wanting to do things, of wanting to try stuff that I enjoyed. I imagine that as some time has passed, he's probably not the same way now.
Hindsight being
2020. But it was really difficult to be in a relationship with somebody who never wanted to do any of the shit that I wanted to do. So, like, yeah, I just started being honest with myself about what I liked. And then when, like, I would go on dates with people and they would be like, what are you into? Or, like, where do you want to go? What kind of movies do you want to watch? Or, like, what are you reading? Like, I was just honest about that shit. And it just paid off. Like, I also was very lucky and I have a very good therapist, but I met somebody who, like, we have fun together.
And share those things.
Yeah, we share those things and it, like, adds another level to our relationship that wasn't really there before. In addition, I would say for me, I had a lot of problems with, in general still, trusting a partner for various reasons. Many textbook reasons. Like, just me being a straight black woman, just like, so many textbook reasons why I just did not trust motherfuckers. And, like, for probably, I'm sure you remember some Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
For good reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were through it a little bit.
Yeah. So I wasn't, like, when I first met my current boyfriend, I just didn't really think he was for real. I was just like, okay, he must be dating me and like 27,000 other people. Never mind. Like, we first met, we pretty much just like clicked immediately and we just started like hanging out all the time immediately. And neither one of us really would have had time to be dating anybody else. And I just didn't have any desire to, and neither did he. And he expressed that. But like, I would say maybe until we had been dating for a few months was I really like, okay, I can sort of like relax. And even after then, it was still a process of like, you know, having to really just encourage myself to have faith in another person, and also to be honest with my partner about where I was coming from, experiences that I had, how I was feeling, and just having to like just keeping those lines of communication open. Like, there we were able to, like, a sign for me that we make a very good match was just like, you know, we would have conversations and I would share information about myself, or he would share information about himself, and, you know, information about past partners, people that we had dated and stuff like that. And it wasn't really a major issue. It was just like we were sharing in service of like helping the other person get to know us and experiences that we had that had like shaped the way that we view relationships and ourselves. And also, like, there were points, certain points that would have caused an argument in a previous relationship, or would have been a major sticking point and just a big fucking issue, where like both of us really opted to like just talk to each other.
Yeah.
It's not like we're walking around conflict free, like never fighting or anything like that. But if, you know, we've been together for almost 2 years, and I can count on one hand the amount of like real arguments that we've had. And I would say maybe it's three or fewer. And I can only really remember what, like, one of them was about.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I feel pretty lucky in that sense. It's not like we never argue or anything like that. But it's just, like, through communication and just, like, really trusting, like, me being able, the fact that I'm able to trust, like, him as a human being and know that he's just not coming from, he's coming from a place of, like, I think you're an awesome person. I want to do whatever I can to love and support you. That goes a long way. But it also took a lot of work for me to be, like, to get to the point where I was like open to that and receptive to that. But I mean, you know, like some of that is maturity, some of that is therapy, some of that is also just like right person, right place, right time. And he's a really cool person. He's a cool guy.
He's dope.
Yeah. He's just like, it's just a cool ass person. And he's like really understanding, and he's like a good family member. He's a good friend. He's a good son. He's just a really solid, solid, solid person. So yeah. he was really, in his mind, I think that like our relationship and like what we were able to, you know, what we have together, and also like my attempts to like, you know, meet him halfway made it possible for him to meet me halfway. So, I mean, trust and communication, man, the shit goes hand in hand.
Trusting enough to communicate those tough things and how you feel is like a really big deal. It's a great point.
I also would say, just like one last thing, I don't know what the recurring problem is in your relationship. It could be any number of things.
Yeah.
I feel like people always focus on infidelity or betrayal, or even in focusing on betrayal, only focus on infidelity. There are a million and one ways that you can betray your partner. But I would say that, like, I dated this guy a few years ago where we just couldn't get to a certain level of intimacy in our relationship. In many different arenas, we couldn't get to a certain level of intimacy. And at the time, I kept thinking, there's something wrong with me. I'm doing something wrong. It's my fault, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I was talking to everybody about this. I was asking everybody about this. I was losing my mind over it. And really, in hindsight, it was just that, like, you know, no shade to this person. No shade to this person, but they at that point in time, I shouldn't have trusted that person. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there was just like, in hindsight, I had every reason not to trust them.
Yeah. Your third eye.
Third eye was telling me, like, I don't know about this person. Now, you know, as it turned out, it was just a whole other situation that didn't have anything to do with me, but it would not have been a good time for me to enter a relationship with that person. That would have been built on transparency and trust. Blessings and peace to them, but it taught me something really important about my intuition. If you feel like you're running into the same wall with somebody over and over and over again, just listen to yourself, because you may be picking up on some shit that
you don't even know. Yeah.
So
great question.
Great question. A also, I just want to say in general, Eric and I are always down to answer relationship questions.
Yeah. We typically don't bring it up as like a topic that we both surface.
Yeah.
But we don't mind going there.
No, we don't mind going there. And we really don't mind telling you what the fuck you should do.
Yeah, exactly.
We have one last question.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is all like one big question.
Yes.
Yes. So this is from Crystal T in Atlanta. She says, as a listener, I want to know about the journalism, social commentary you do now in podcasting. When you were in college at Howard, what did you think you would be doing professionally post-graduation? Have your dreams changed? Are you where you want to be? Are you getting closer to your dreams or further away?
That's deep.
Woo!
That's deep.
Man, it hit me in my core.
Yes.
So let's break this down piece by piece.
Okay.
When you were in college at Howard, what did you think you'd be doing professionally post-graduation?
Oh, I love this answer. What did you think you'd be doing, Eric?
I thought I was going to be a talent agent.
Yes.
And I was really vocal about that. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew.
Mm-hmm.
I was real big on Entourage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talk about coming back to things and them not being what you remember. That is a show that sadly is not held up that well.
No.
But yeah, I really wanted to be a talent agent. I was really interested. I still love movies and, you know, and TV.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, I wanted to help actors and writers and directors get film and TV roles. My dreams have changed. I quickly realized that, like, you have to be a certain type of person to be an agent,
mm-hmm.
or at least in my experience, like the people who I talked to and the kind of the people who I worked under, you have to be a certain level of cutthroat that mm-hmm. I just frankly don't have.
Mm.
And I'm comfortable with that. I'm pretty happy with that, to mm-hmm. be honest with you. Like, becoming that person who I would need to be to do that job wasn't very exciting to me. So I kind of quickly changed and I went to advertising, and now I work in podcasting. In terms of, are you where you want to be? Yes. Which is weird.
Oh.
I don't think I've answered that question in this way before.
Yeah.
I am. I actually, don't quote me on this because I'll probably disagree with you in the moment and complain. But I'm happy. I actually am pretty happy. I would like to have a better work-life balance.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that is, like, you know, partially my fault, partially not. But I'm working towards it.
Uh-huh.
And partially just in a way, just because I'm getting better at my craft.
Yeah.
You know, and I know
my
how
craft.
To, hey,
oh,
hey, you know, but yeah, like, other than that, though, like, in terms of my dreams and my career, I actually am pretty happy. I think, you know, even just with this show, I think we've done a great job at, like, being consistent
mm-hmm.
and in most cases, keeping it simple.
Yeah.
And that's, like, helped have a base that has allowed me to be more ambitious in other areas, because I know I have, like, a little bit of balance to it, mm-hmm. you know, which has been great. So I think my dreams are actually closer than they have ever been. Like, mm-hmm. what I want to do and what I want to achieve is like more in reach than I could honestly have imagined at this particular point. At least, like, maybe a few years ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm just trying to, like, stay low and build, you know? Like, I'm just trying to keep myself on the track, stay in my lane, make sure I get better at what I'm doing. You know, don't burn any bridges. Don't mess up my juju.
Mm-hmm.
And keep going from there, which is honestly, it's a weird feeling because I'm someone who always like thrives on like, I got to beat, you know, like I got to make it to this level because I'm so far behind.
Yeah.
But it's nice in a sense that like I can actually just focus on like what I need to do now and enjoy it.
That's very nice.
Thanks.
When I was at Howard, I don't even know. So if you go to my high school yearbook, they ask you like, oh, where are you going to be in 10 years? I said that I was going to be a writer for Esquire and that I was going to be engaged to a South American soccer player. That's what I said. That was popping. I mean, soccer was hot in 2005. Soccer was popping.
Gotcha.
And so I didn't do either one of those things. But I like to meet me as an adult, like, okay, I think about what my life is like now and the fact that, like, I do make media, you know, as myself. Like, I don't, like, people can hear me. It's, like, my voice directly talking to people.
Yeah.
And
there's writing involved in it.
There's writing involved in that. And I did not find a South American soccer player. I did find a very nice Puerto Rican man.
Yes, you did. He's very nice.
Yes. I think about this sometimes and I'm like, my 17-year-old self would not be surprised at all by what my life is like now. But I, having experienced all the years in between, am shocked by many a thing. But yeah, when I was at Howard, depends on the year. I think when I majored in film, I wanted to be a film producer. I didn't really like the directing part that much, but I liked the idea of like taking somebody's idea and like finding all of the money and like getting everybody together and like just bossing people around. I really, really enjoyed that part. But then by the time, like, I think that film is one of those things or any sort of like endeavor like that is like, you know, that's like, I guess, artistic in some way that's like rigorous. Mm. By the time you're done with school, you either fucking hate it and you never want to do it again, or you fucking hate it and you're like, all right, give me more. And I was not in the give me more category. I'm actually surprised because by the time I finished college, I just was so turned off by production that it's bizarre to me that I work in audio and like edit audio and like work in production in a different sense. I always hoped that I would work in media, but I didn't like stick by that. Like I didn't do anything to put myself as like into the media world.
Yeah.
It's not since 23 or 24. So to me, this feels very like, on one hand, it's like, this is really fucking random. But on the other hand, I'm like, oh, okay. I guess I kind of see how this like turned out the way that it did. I don't know if my dreams have changed so much as like, for me, the main thing that I want is like, okay, this is so corny, but like, I've always wanted to have just like enough money to like live comfortably and to like, you know, purchase a home and, you know, be able to take care of my family. I've always wanted to have a family and have kids and get married. And like, I've wanted to have like a healthy, like, even if I didn't do a job that was like something that I'm really passionate about and that I love, which is what I have now, I was just like, let me find a job where like I respect the people that I work with and like I do something that contributes to society and I have some hobbies that I fuck with. And that was really it. I feel like that's even a lot for like an adult human being. So the fact that I get to like make a good living doing something that I really, really enjoy with a bunch of people that are really smart, who I feel care about me as a person, like this is like beyond what I would have anticipated. I'm totally where I want to be in a lot of areas in my life. But I don't feel that I don't even know, like, my dreams as far as the future, like, there's, like, a track, I guess. Like, I have no clue. Do you know
what I mean? It's hard to forecast.
Yeah, because everything was just such a, like, this is such a pleasant surprise. But, like, when I think about the future, I'm like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some stuff that'd be nice to do, but, like, I have no clue. My thoughts are like, let me just focus on what they're paying me to do right now.
Yeah.
And just see how that turns out. Like, I got another show coming out. Let me just try and think about that and see how that goes. And then if you ask me, maybe in 2 years, I might be able to provide you an answer. But, like, yeah, man, I just want to, like, my dreams are, like, make a decent living, do something that I can feel proud of, like, have a healthy family and, like, some sort of financial stability. Those are my dreams. I feel like I'm getting closer. And some of that is my profession, but also some of that is just like, you know, I made certain choices to like become a more mature person and like, you know, start thinking about long-term shit. That's such a boring adult answer. But yeah, man, I mean, this is like beyond, this is beyond what we're doing now is like beyond what I would have dreamed for myself when I was in college. It just, to me, it feels really out of left field.
Yeah. You know, I would agree. Yeah. Like I couldn't have pictured this. And if you would have told me this was what I would have be doing, I would have likely
laughed in your face.
Laughed.
Yeah.
Cackled in yeah. your face. That said, like, I'm much happier with it than I think would have. I mean, I wanted to be like, oh, I'm going to be taking over.
You
like,
wanted to be like Ari.
Yeah.
Ari Katz. Was that his name?
Gold.
On the show? Ari Gold. Ari Katz is probably somebody I went to high school with. Ari Gold. Yeah, you wanted to be like him.
He wasn't very, wasn't a very happy man.
No, he wasn't really nice.
Yeah, it wasn't nice. I think I'm happier. Nice. I'm grumpy.
You're nicer
but I'm
than
nice.
You would have been otherwise.
Yeah, it's true.
That's like, the best I can say. You are so grumpy. But thank you guys for sending in questions.
Yes.
We apologize to the people whose questions we couldn't get to, our listeners who are like all across the country, all around the world. Shout out, you know, everybody in the South, out West, folks in Australia. Shout out everybody. Shout out, shout out, shout out. And I mean, I don't know if we'll ever do this again, like quite this way, but I see a future wherein we could definitely give you guys advice.
Yeah.
So if you have anything that you like, any troubling situations, any questions, ask us. We chances are, honestly, I mean, maybe minus a few things, we've probably been through it already. So
you would be surprised.
You would be surprised at what we can actually give you some advice about. But yeah, I guess we'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
For Colored Nerds is hosted by me, Eric Eddings.
And me, Brittany Luce.
It's produced by Bevel Hopte. And all of us.
Yes.
That's it. It's not a big
yeah.
team. It's a small
so
team.
Yeah, if you want to, you know, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars only.
Yes.
You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on forcolorednerds.com. You can send us an email at forcolorednerds@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Patreon. Give us some money. Patreon.com/forcolorednerds. And you know what I'm saying? Just like shout us out. Tell a friend. Be dope.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Friday night. We need to get the hell out of here. I'm hungry. I want to eat a taco or something like that.
So tired.
I know. Eric is so tired today. But we will see you guys in a couple weeks with a pretty cool special guest. So
yes.
We'll see you then.
All right. Bye.
Bye.